Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When the young are sexually abused, psychological scars are left that may never be healed. One common experience is grief, that gnawing sadness that's always just below the surface. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a three-part series on how to handle being the victim of sexual abuse. Our theme is Let God Redeem Your Story. And now, Pastor Lutzer comes with more of part one.
And if there's no way for you to really express your grief and to pour out your soul before God, read the book of Lamentations. Lamentations is a book that was written by Jeremiah. It is filled with tears over the destruction of Jerusalem. I wish I had time this morning to take you there and to show you how all of his innards are spilled out there in his tears. There's nothing wrong with grieving the loss. You lose an arm, you grieve. You lose your childhood, you grieve. Grieve over what could have been. Don't be afraid of grief. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Third, and this is absolutely crucial. Of course, everything that I'm saying today is crucial. But third, you must understand grace. You must understand grace. Now, I'm going to speak to those of you who were abused. This is your tendency. Your tendency is to so focus on the sins of others that you overlook your own. And no matter how your sins might be pointed out, you're continually saying, yeah, but I didn't do that. And so your focus is on somebody else's sin. At this point, I'm talking about your own because we are all sinners. And if you have been sinning against others because you've been sinned against, you and I have a lot to forgive. I have a lot that God has to forgive. And I suspect that you do too. But when it comes to forgiveness, people make one huge mistake. What is the major mistake when it comes to forgiveness? It is thinking that they have to become worthy of it. If I could just be worthy of it and tell God, well, you know, I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. If I could just do that, maybe then I'd experience forgiveness. You come to God like that and you'll continue your obsessions. Because that's not the basis of forgiveness. The interesting thing is that in the New Testament, forgiveness is totally a free gift independent of your performance. That is what grace, it is totally undeserved. It is the kind of gift that God gives to us, and that's our calling card when we want to knock on the door of heaven. When you get onto a plane, the stewardess doesn't say, well, now, you know, are you worthy to fly? Have you had a good day? Have you had your devotions today? That's not what the stewardess is interested in, the flight attendants of today. What they want to know is the ticket is your authenticity. And God says, you have Jesus who died in your place, and that is the answer to your neurosis and your guilt. Whether you are an abuser or abused, the answer is the same. Jesus died for horrendous sinners. That's the answer. In fact, the Bible says very clearly that we are justified by his blood. We are redeemed by his blood. And then don't you like this? Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, now unto him who washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's all a gift. You come to God exactly as you are. Luther was absolutely right when he said, O Jesus, I am thy sin, thou art my righteousness. Once you understand that Jesus died in your place, if you were abused as a child, even if you felt guilt because you participated and the way in which you did, the answer is the same for you. It's the same for all of us because there is only one way to be freed forever, and that is to accept the work that Jesus did and receive it by faith and by grace. You know what I've been praying for you this week? I've been praying that you will feel the forgiveness of God to the very depths of your being, so that you don't have to live in that purgatory of despair, wondering where you live with God, that you will feel it deeply. And as for those of you who are abusers, you too can receive that grace, though I'm going to have more to say to you in the next message. And the next message in this series is about a woman whose story was not redeemed. Whose story was not redeemed. By the way, this title, I wish I could take a credit for it. It was given to me. Rebecca and I were having lunch with a couple that began an organization for those who are abused. And she said, "We just help people to let God redeem their story." And I said, what a fantastic title this is. Let God redeem your story. And so next time we'll talk about somebody who didn't let God redeem her story and what we can learn about our own story being redeemed. You've got to understand grace. God's reach is as far as sin reaches. And where sin abounds, grace abounds more. And you sin, and God can heap up grace to cover it. And you must grab that, or you will never have the settled assurance, "I stand in the presence of God forgiven." Isn't that great? Isn't that great that we stand in the presence of God forgiven? Next is a little bit more difficult. You must now practice forgiveness. Now that you've understood it, now you've got to practice it. I wish I could say that your abuser is going to come to you and say, "Oh, would you forgive me for the terrible things I've done?" Oh, I'll tell you, that doesn't happen very often. As we shall see next time, abusers justify, rationalize, deny. So what are you going to do? That's my question. You going to hang on to your desire for revenge? Are you going to say to yourself, "I am owed justice"? My friend, always remember that being willing to give up your revenge and your anger is not in any way a minimizing of the sin that has been given to you and happened to you. The Bible just simply tells us to commit it to God. "Vengeance is mine," God says. "I will repay," says the Lord. And so what you need to do is you really need to get rid of that. And getting rid of it, you know, someone has said that holding on to your revenge is something like you drinking poison and then you are expecting your abuser to die. Well, he's not going to be affected by the fact that you are drinking poison. He or she is not going to be affected by that. You will be. I know that forgiveness is both an act and a process. It is not something that you just say, "Well, you know, I casually forgive." Yeah, you say that as an act, and then you begin to live it out, and when it comes back, you affirm its forgiveness. You say, "I'm not going to keep revisiting this and going back to this because I have forgiven, God knows," and in the process, the healing continues. But do not live with bitterness. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away from you," the Apostle Paul says. "And be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you." Your abuser will probably not ask for it. But you need to be free and give it to God and pour it out at the foot of the cross. So we have to practice forgiveness. Next, we have to rewrite your story. There's a woman who wrote a book about this. She used the Beatitudes to rewrite her story. Now, let me give you some information here that's transforming. All the information, actually, that I'm giving to you today is transforming. But what you need to do is to reprogram your mind. Your mind that just plays the same tape over and over and over again. Have you ever had that at a tape recorder or the old records? They were the ones. There was a groove in them. And they just used to play the same lines over and over and over again. You young people, just to explain that there was a time when people actually used records. I know that dates me, but I even remember it. And that's being played in your mind over and over again. The vengeance, the anger, the justification for your behavior, it's all there being played. You need to reprogram your mind. And you do it through the washing of water through the Word. So that you are reading the Psalms, you are memorizing Scripture, you are saying to yourself, I will no longer be defined by what happened to me. I will be defined because I belong to Jesus. I belong to a new family. I have a Father in heaven who understands and who has compassion, and I will believe that. Though for some of you that's difficult to believe, but God has His purposes in all things as to what happened to you. And that I am going to begin to think of myself and have my mind renewed by the Word of God so that I begin to think different thoughts and be reprogrammed. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. By it, we are healed. By it, we are instructed. By it, we are given hope. If you're languishing today because of your past and you are not reading the Word of God and cleansing your mind and meditating and memorizing on things that are positive and helpful and that help you to understand who you really are in Christ, no wonder you continue in your neurosis. No wonder you do that, because your mind needs to be renewed. Do that for 6 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, and you'll begin to notice a remarkable difference. And you know what? The people that you live with will even notice a difference. Because when we are changed, remember, we impact others by that change. You know, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I want to give you some encouragement along the road of life. Did you know that you don't have to be totally healed of all your past issues? And you certainly don't have to be perfect in order for God to love you and to use you. As a matter of fact, He loves it, those of us who are His followers. He loves us even as the Father loves Him. How overwhelming. And that's true even when we still have issues, even when we continue to struggle with a residue of our background. Now, some of you have been in a lot of trouble, not because of what some people have done to you, but rather issues that you yourself have done. You are fully responsible for your choices, and that has impacted you. So either way, God is willing to meet you. As a matter of fact, the death of Jesus Christ includes not only the forgiveness of sins, but the acceptance of the Father, the welcome of the Father. That's why I hope you call your friends, invite them to listen to this series titled, Let God Redeem Your Story. Everybody has a story, and all of us need God's redemption.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. This series of messages may be life-changing for those caught in the grip of shame. Let God Redeem Your Story can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you call or write, ask about Let God Redeem Your Story. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Irwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.